Well, let's share some things of the Lord. Everybody ready? And I feel like that we're at the place where there'll be no offense if somebody says something that I don't like, or maybe I don't see or agree. That's fine. Just don't let it give you a tummy ache. This is beginning. This is the ending and the beginning, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but I'm not too much given to dates. I preach the first year and the second year and the first day and the second day and the third day until I run out of days. And I think they're all significant. Then I preach the seventh day and the eighth day, and I think they're significant. But I was in Oklahoma, maybe Arizona, but an elderly man came to me when he heard me, when I got through preaching one time. He said, "Ray, why would you limit yourself to a day?" And I just wept. I said, "That's a good question. Why should I limit myself to a day?" If we are from eternity, if I can say it that way. And then again, I'll say some things that's not a blanket statement for everybody, but they're for me, and you can have them if you want them. If you don't want them, you're not going to bother me about it, you know. But I think we're all aware of the fact that if we continue another 10 years, like we have in the past 10 years, at the end of the next 10 years, we're still going to be saying when.
Yeah.
When. Third day's coming. Seventh day's coming. Eighth day's coming. It's always going to be somewhere, sometime, someday, we're going to be. In reality, we've always been who we are. So if there's something said that maybe you don't understand, I probably won't understand it either. But I'm at the place now, I know this in my heart, and you probably know it too, that the Spirit of Truth has come to show us things, and not just to show us things, but to guide us into those things that we become. And we all know that Jesus said, "I've got to leave here. I've got to get out of here. If I don't go," you know what he said. But he said, "I'm going to leave here. And when I leave here, I'm going to send you somebody that's going to guide you into all truth." Somebody said, "Well, Jesus is doing it." No, he's not. He's not doing it. And I've heard, and I've made the statement, and you may have said, "Well, if God don't do it, it can't be done." That's not true either. God's not doing it. That's why he sent us here. That ain't too hard to understand. And so somebody called me recently and said, "Well, will you continue to pray with me?" I said, "No." And I didn't mean to sound so. But why do you continue to pray? And I'm not mimicking us. We've all been there and may go there sometimes again. I don't know. But why would we continue to pray for God to do something when he sent you here to do it? And see, this past week, it finally dawned on me. He didn't send me here to do anything. He just sent me here to be. That's reality. See, Jesus didn't come to do. He come to unveil the Father. Plus nothing. And I have preached for so many years, I can't tell you how many years it's been, but it's been a long time. And it finally dawned on me, he didn't come to save the world like I preached that he did. He just didn't. He never said he did. He said he came to his own. Read in John chapter 1. He came to his own and they didn't receive him. Who was his own? Well, God so loved the world that he gave. And he did. Thank God he did. But you see, that one man, Jesus, was just the beginning of a process of saviors. Then that's the truth. See, there's saviors on Mount Zion that's just now appearing. But you see, the saviors on Mount Zion has become Mount Zion. Really? And when you look, John seen in part of his overall vision. He in Revelation 18 or 19, he's seen the new Jerusalem. Remember? Coming down. Not trying to get out of here and go somewhere, but they were coming down. And there was nothing wrong with them. Is that she prepared, already prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Well, that word adorned is a beautiful word. It means to be put in place. Are rightfully placed. And so, coming down prepared. That's the city. But when you look back, that was a city that Abraham saw and could never be a part of it. He never could. Abraham died in the faith. Hebrews 11 said he did. But Abraham never did receive the promise. And I was talking to Brother. See, I didn't come, you didn't come here to die in the faith. If you did, what good are you going to do anybody? And you see, we didn't come, at least I didn't. And I heard the word of the Lord speak to my heart this very thing. I didn't come to offer hope. That's not what you're here for. We just simply appeared to bring the substance, the reality, the visibility of the Father. Yeah. Let's say in Hebrew, having therefore, brethren, I'm in verse 20, 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the life or the blood of Jesus. What did he mean? Having boldness to enter the holiest? What are you supposed to mean? And if you remember, he's still trying to pattern after the tabernacle. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. What's holy? What is the holiest? And he said, you do it by the life. By the life. Now let me, this is where I'm at. I am the life of God. You can't separate me from the life. Or you can't separate the life from me. And I am not the lamb that was slain. I'm not. I am not the lamb that was held up and said whatever. I am the holiest, however you want to say it, because of the life. And so the life that we are gives you boldness to present who you are. And it ain't got nothing to do with three parts of the tabernacle. The body, soul, and spirit is absolutely holy. They're holy. They're as holy as they can ever be. So he said, you've got a boldness by the life that you are to enter. He really did. We'll read you a little bit further. He said, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, and look how he says it, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Now let's stop and think a minute. The only veil that's got him hid is this. That's the only veil. He's buried right there. He really is. Everything that God is. You see, Paul made this statement in Colossians. He said, in him are the Word, or God, that was made flesh, called Jesus. In that first Word dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2. How can that be? How can all the fullness of God be compacted and put into one Word? That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was the Word. Everything that God is, His Word. Man, there's 15 things running through my thinking.
Yeah.
Everything that God is Word. And the only way you're going to express what God is by Word. It is. How do you release? Just stop and let's break it into now. How do you release the thoughts in your mind? How do you do that? Whether good, bad, or how do you do that? Now they've got internet. You can put your thoughts on a machine, and that machine will send around the world. And I emailed a dear brother that had sent a letter, an email, across the airwaves concerning a brother. Destroyed him. One email. One letter. Come out of a mind of a man to destroy another brother. I sent him an email. And I said, brother, I've always considered you my friend and my brother. But I said, I must tell you something. God never intended that internet to be a murder weapon against his creation. And that's what it's become. And I'm going to tell you, and I think you'll know that, I don't think you'll, if you support with your presence or anything about you, people who do that, you're supporting murderers. They really are. You can take the internet, and I know for a fact it happened. You can take the internet and destroy. You don't want to destroy a man's ministry, but you destroy the influence and the effects that that man has had on people around the world. It does. And I've seen it happen to families. I've seen family member turn against a family member and literally destroy a family member. That ought not be. We need to go back and let brotherly love continue. It doesn't matter whether it pleases or displeases. We need to let brother. Wouldn't you say amen to that? We need to let brotherly love continue. Who can say, because somebody heard something I didn't hear, who can say that what they heard is not truth? We're going to judge everything by my truth? Forget it. Okay, that being said, let's go further. By a new and living way, which he had consecrated forever, or for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And then he puts a conjunction word in the next verse, 21. He says, and. And. That's one of the biggest words in the scripture, and. And having a high priest over the house of God. A high priest over the house. Who do you think that is? Where do you think it is? What do you think it is? Talk to me, saints. Who's the highest priest over the house of God? Who's the house of God? Who's the high priest? The Word that you are. Go to Psalms chapter, I think it's chapter 40. I didn't write that. Sometimes I write verses down, sometimes I don't. But Psalms Are y'all letting brotherly love continue? If I get an email next week and said, Ray said, I've done that. Ray said. Sometimes Ray did say it. See, I don't care for people saying what I said, if I said it. But you know what? I've said things that I didn't hear me say. She said, you know what you said today. And I probably don't. But I'm going to play the tape. But I know, we send these different places, and I thank God for it. I mean, I enjoy it, but people say, have you heard what Ray said? Or have you heard what Joe said? No, tell me. And you just swear you don't want any gossip, but you die until they tell you what they heard. Y'all funny. Now I can't even find what I'm looking for. I'll find it here in a minute. Chapter 45, Psalm chapter 45. I woke up to somebody one time and I put my arm on it and said, hey, have you heard the least? He said, no, what is it? I said, I don't know, I haven't heard it. I thought you did. And see, we men say women like to gossip. Women ain't the only one likes to talk. I don't know how I got out of here. It's your fault. I mean, Psalm 45. Yeah. Oh, you two agree together. Okay. And we started by writing the laws in the mind, putting it in the heart, and writing it in the mind. And I'm about finished. No, I'm not. I'm not the point where I'm going to quit, but here's what he said. My heart is indicting a good matter. And I don't know when you can separate the heart from the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart. I don't know how the heart can think. I don't know how you can separate. When is sometimes if it separates. But he said, my heart is indicting or thinking on or planning and getting ready to put into play. That's where it all begins. A good matter. And I speak of the things which I have made. Now listen to this closely. And I speak of the things which I have made. It's my heart I have made. Touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. My tongue, and what he just got through saying, he laid the groundwork. It's in my heart. The thing that's in my heart is about the king. Now what's in my heart, I'm going to let my tongue write it. For me, we are now writing in the mind an oracle of God that is the very life of God. And it goes back to Hebrews I just read. And that life of God gives me access by boldness into the complete, full economy of God. Yeah. Now listen, everything that has been, and listen for me, everything that has been, and everything that now is, and everything that shall be, Do you really believe that we can touch everything that God ever created? I do. I believe I can touch everything that has been. And I know for a fact, I know this, and we know this by this, as much as anything else. Abraham looked for a city. He's seen us. He's never shook my hand. I've never seen him face to face. But that which he had in life, the life that he had in that day, could not be complete until the life of this day showed up. And see, the life of this day is not going to show up on some little mountain somewhere. This life is now showing up in a city. It's a city. And it's not a city that's going up. It's the city that was there to start with that's now just beginning to make her descent. You see, Abraham could see the stars and he could see the sand, but he seen the city, but he couldn't touch it. Yeah, he will. Just hang on, Abraham. We're almost there. Hang on, Abraham. We're almost there. Now, let's stop this. Go to Romans and you can quote it. No? While you're in Psalm, go through the Song of Solomon. On your way to Romans. And I've read this and we've read this, and every time I read I chew and eat and eat. In Song of Solomon chapter 4. Are y'all hot? Am I fanning the flames? No. Okay. Song of Solomon chapter 4, and it's the he that's talking to the her, if you want to dissect it too. Yeah. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Now put this up in a spiritual, if you want to use that word, perspective, and it's a word talking to that which it inhabits. Yeah. It's a word telling that which it inhabits what it's like. It is. Did you know the word will tell you how beautiful you are? Shane, you didn't know that? That are a holy habitation. The word will tell you that you are, that are a holy habitation. The word will tell you how beautiful are your feet. Let's see. No, seriously. And this is the word telling that which is inhabit. It says, behold, thou art fair, my love. Thou art fair. You've got dove's eyes. Your revelation is peaceful. It's not warring. That's what he's saying. Within your lunch, your hair is like a flock of goats. And he just blew her out of the water. Told her upon her eyes how beautiful her eye was. Then tell her she got hair like a goat. I didn't tell y'all your hair. I mean, and they don't mean that. But here, for time's sake, I gotta hurry. I'm running out of tape here. But your teeth look like a flock of sheep. But you have to remember, the teeth is that which masticates. It chews up. Your stomach can't dissect it till your teeth masticates it. And so that's what he's telling about her teeth. For time's sake, let's go to verse 3. Your lips. Your lips. It didn't say his. You have memory. It's the word talking to that which he inhabits. Your lips is like a thread of scarlet. Redemption. Redemption. Scarlet is redemption. And it's in the lips. And I said this last night. Your own salvation is in your lips. Your own healing, if you want to call it, is in your lips. It's the lips. It's the mouth. It is. It really is. And he said, your lips are like scarlet. Now, and he said, your speech is comely. The word speech comes from a word which means a deep sound. So what it says, the lips of scarlet makes a deep sound. Go back to Psalms, and there's a deep that calls to the deep. But that deep comes out of the lips. It does. It makes a deep sound. The lips that's got a scarlet thread makes a deep sound and is calling. It is calling to every creed, every nation under the sun. And it'll keep calling until there's a response to it. Let's read a little bit further. Go down. For time's sake, let's go to verse 11. Here we go back. The lips again. First says redemption. It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing what's in our mouth. Your lips, my spouse, drop as a honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue. And you smell of the garments, it's like the smell of Lebanon. Then he goes a little bit further. He says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Remember this. It is a word talking to that which it inhabits. When he said your lips is like honey, you see, milk and honey are the two basic staples of our life. Remember? So not only does the lips redeem, but the lips sustain that which it redeems. It's the life of that which it redeems. It doesn't just redeem it and turn it loose of the dog. It sustains that which it redeems. There's a thought that I want to express it, and I don't know how to can't find the words to express it. I'll let it go. Now go to Romans. And you can quote it. What does it say? From the heart, with the heart, man believeth. Is that what it says? Unto righteousness. How did the heart believe unto the righteousness? He put that law in your heart. He did. He did. From with the heart, a man believeth. With the heart you believe. But then he said, the tongue makes the confession. What does it say? Read somebody. Romans 10. Romans 9 and 10. The tongue is confessing you into your salvation. It's all in the tongue. It's in the tongue. So now look. Tie it together. How does the tongue, by just saying things, do anything? Go back to Genesis 1. It said in the beginning, everything was void, and God said. It said the Spirit moved, and God said. The Spirit moved, and God said. How did God say? I'm in something that far beyond my understanding. How did God say how did he say it in the beginning? It don't say the Spirit said, it said the Spirit moved. And God said. How did God say? Who? Where did he come from? Yes? It don't say the Spirit said it. And you said the Spirit moved, and God said, yeah, let there be. And there was. Now go to John 1 again, you tie it together. For me it does. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God. It don't say in the beginning was Spirit. It said in the beginning was the Word. So which comes first, Word or Spirit? God, both of them. I'm not picking. I'm feeling some things in my heart. And you see, if we don't understand these things, we won't really know how to act or react sometimes to some things. See? And again, that word was. But now, who was there? Who was there in that word from the beginning? Where was you at when all this was taking place? Really, where were we when this was all taking place? If we were there from the foundation, and that word foundation, remember it said he was slain from the foundation? That word foundation is a beautiful word. It literally says before there was ever a thought. Isn't that awesome? You were there before God ever had a thought about creating anything. And you thought you just happened along? You thought that 2,000,001 chance was a long shot? Well planned. It couldn't have been any other way. You couldn't have had green eyes if you had blue eyes. Isn't that amazing? I mean, no wonder he said you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Every part of your structure is so intricately intertwined and interwoven. And when it's everything said and done, it's all word. Wrapped up in flesh. It didn't say it right. It said made. Made flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld the glory of that word made flesh. Who was God? I'm over my head now. Y'all throw me a lifeline here. Where were you when God said, let there be? Who was God talking to when he said, let us make man in our image? Who was he talking to? What was the image? What did God look like? If the council of that high court agreed to make a man in our image, what did the image look like? Really? What was he going to pattern things after? They had an image. We're going to, everything that man, we're going to make that man in our image and in our likeness. He's going to look like us. You get this in a minute. That which God created looks like God. What is that?
Yeah.
It's in our image and our likeness. Made he male, female. Then go to Galatians chapter 4. And it says, he was made of a woman. Made under the law. Then it tells you why he was made. It didn't say he was born of a woman, it said he was made. But he was made back in the eternal council room to the Father when God said that there had to be an image to make something after. My God, and the image that God patterned after is standing right here amongst us right here. I'm looking at you eyeball to eyeball. If it ain't, then you correct me. And I'm going to stand to be corrected. We're going to have to understand this ain't about nobody but you. And we're going to quit singing about what Abraham did. And I believe we're going to quit singing about what Moses did. And I believe, and he stopped me. I mean, he stopped me calling my tracks. I taught Moses tabernacle every way you could teach it. Because I was taught that it was a pattern. But if you look at it, it said it was a pattern of good things to come. Then you go to Hebrews chapter 8, and you'll find that Christ never was in that pattern. You hear this now. I can read to Christ never was in Moses' pattern. Why? Where did we come from for so many years teaching Moses' tabernacle as a pattern of the Son? It never was a pattern of the Son. It was a pattern that God gave to man. For a natural law.
Yes.
And in that law would end. And if you continue that law after the law in it, it was death.
Yeah.
That Moses tabernacle never was a pattern of the Son.
No.
Because you go to, again, you go to Hebrews 3, and it says plainly that Christ was not in that tabernacle. If he had been, there'd been no need for another temple.
Come on.
Yeah. If the priesthood of that day could have brought the life of God, there'd been no need for another priesthood. But he made this statement. He said, because there isn't another priesthood, it's a necessity that the law changes.
Yeah.
You can't function under Melchizedek and stay in the Aaronic priesthood. You just can't do it. You can't put Christ in Moses. Either. Yet I can take you to Corinthians and show you a rock out in the sticks. God, I feel in my belly. There's all kinds of rivers flowing in my, and it's for me. You see, I don't know what you know, but I know this now. What I'm speaking to you, I'm writing in my mind. My tongue is writing my own destiny as I speak it out of my mouth. My tongue is writing. And it may not be writing in your mind, but it's writing in my mind the very thing that's coming out of my mouth. You see a rock out in the middle of nowhere. And they're thirsty, starving for water. And it won't rain. Remember? God said, Moses, speak to it. What was he going to say to a rock? You know the story. He smote it twice. He smote it with both covenants. Because the thing that he had in his hand represented both covenants. The law and the spirit. And you see, he had to smite it twice because the first time he hit it, he'd hit with the letter of death. All he had to do was speak to it one time, but because he smote it, he had to hit it twice. Because the first time it wasn't nothing but death. And that second time, you know the story. Go to Corinthians, you hear Paul say, that rock was Christ, not Jesus. That rock was the anointed word that was laying there in no man's land. And all he'd had to done was to have a conversation with it and watch the life of God that it was come alive. But out of the ignorance of a man's mind, he hit the thing. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he hit it twice. And he said, and that rock was Christ. And he said, they all drank from that rock. They all drank. Now you pray God tell me to that tribe, to that group of Israelites and Arabs that's cutting one another's head off and shooting one another and blowing one another to smithereens. You think that they're called, you think that they're lost? Because their forefathers has already drank from the Christ of God. And I'm telling you now, there's a law that's going into their heart, and there's going to be some writing in some minds of people, and there's going to be a resurrection come. See, this thing ain't about a handful of people in the backside of Tennessee somewhere.
No.
This has got to resonate. This resurrection. Every living cell of God is waiting for a voice to raise it from among the dead. And you can't do this by smiting the rock. You've got to speak it. You can't smite it. You can't do it no more. You can't hammer and beat. You've got to speak it. And when you speak it, you'll be writing some things in some people's minds that will forever. And you see, when you put it in their mind and in their heart, they'll speak it out of their mouth. Now listen. Let me say this. What you say to me can go so far Well, my redemption is not dependent on what you say. My redemption is what depends on what comes out of my mouth. And I said some very hard things this morning. I remember what I said when I said I would never sit under the office of a pastor. And I didn't mean that critically. But I meant that. You're not going to put me, I will not sit under the offices of somebody that wants to boast in the fact that they're a pastor. And you're not a little sheep. I won't do it. I won't do it. And I got to tell you, you won't either very long. If they're a voice that you can hear, I'll listen. I don't care who he is. I don't care where he comes from. I'm looking for a voice. I'm not looking for a man. I'm looking for a voice. But you see, when everything's said and done, it's got to come out of my mouth. The silver thread, my redemption, got to come out of my mouth. I've got to believe it in him, but then I've got to say it out of my mouth. What I tell you is wonderful, but until you can believe it and say it out of your mouth, you'll tell Bible stories about what everybody else has got. Bless you.